RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus, News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian government to examine economic policy package. Traditional business should be in line with technological development. The World Islamic Economic Forum proves women have important role in Islamic economy. Now the news in detail. The Chief of Presidential Staff, Teten Mas Duki, said the government will soon examine the implementation of the Economic Policy Package 1 to 12. According to him, the government will be examining the regulation whether they are convenient to the business sectors, including the micro, small, and medium enterprises or not. The examination aims to understand the impacts derived from the economic policies to the people. Several points to be examined are the possibility of overlapping amongst the regulations, easiness of getting permits, and bureaucracy. Teten remarked that the government will keep improving every problems related to the implementation of the regulation in the field. He added the government is preparing the Economic Policy Package 13, which is scheduled to be launched in the near future. The economic package will focus on e-commerce and construction of affordable houses. Teten stated that two sectors are the priority of other sectors that will also be included in the package. The development of technology that allows people to do business, not disrupt business traditionally, that has been run ahead. This was conveyed by Indonesian businessman Ilham Akbar Habibi in a panel discussion on the sidelines of a meeting of the 12th World Islamic Economic Forum in Jakarta Wednesday. According to Ilham, the rise of start-up business among teenagers currently must be supported by the traditional business because both types of business can support each other and mutually beneficial. Ilham Akbar Habibi added, the existence of start-up business is a must to offset the current progress of the times that is more increasing the power of consumer demand.
What an established company needs to do, and I would not exclude myself from that, is we need to work with entrepreneurs, right? You need to identify young people who have these brilliant ideas. You need to work with them, let them do the job. But that's not everything. We need also awareness about the changes in people's mentality and their culture, how they view things. Regulation is important.
Talking about the regulation aspect, Ilham Akbar Habibi said, all governments in the world have to accommodate the progress of time, which can facilitate the people to enter the business world. It is intended that the development of business, which is in line with the technological development and consumer demand, will not cause problems later, especially in the aspects of legislation. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said that women have an important role in industry and economy. It was shown through the implementation of the 12th World Islamic Economic Forum. In a press conference which was held at the Jakarta Convention Center, Jakarta, on Tuesday, August 2, 2016, the minister said that so far there is a stigma that Islam does not give space and opportunity for women. However, since the participation of women entrepreneurs in this forum has indicated the role of women in the economic development.
Development objective. Currently, the key program, which is emphasizing on empowering the small and medium enterprises, young entrepreneurs, as well as women entrepreneurs, because usually perceived that the Islam is not really providing enough opportunity for women. This is going to be a very important showcase that many of a woman entrepreneur is going to take an important role in this World Islamic Economic Forum, as well as especially in the industry, which is actually promoting many, not women as a buyer, but also as a producer.
Sri Mulyani hoped that Islamic countries can also facilitate women entrepreneurs to develop their own potential. In the 12th World Islamic Economic Forum, a number of Indonesian women entrepreneurs become keynote speakers and share their experience about how they run industry. The entrepreneurs are, among others, Sinta Danuwardoyo, Bubu.com Chief Executive Officer, Rizky Hapsari, founder and owner of KoleksiKiki.com, and Evi Trisna, an Indonesia Teaching Movement Executive Director. The 12th World Islamic Economic Forum has been officially started in Jakarta on August 2, 2016. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati at a press conference in Jakarta Convention Center, Jakarta, Tuesday said, with the implementation of the World Islamic Economic Forum, it will bring beneficial for Indonesia both for investors, stakeholders, or the government to show business potential and investment in Indonesia. Rifai. Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati added, the potential that has been promoted during the World Islamic Economic Forum, namely Sharia-based economy and Indonesian hijab. Minister Sri Mulyani hoped for the next 2 days, the forum can bring a good opportunity for the state leaders, company leaders, academicians, and the professionals to expand network and develop business. Minister of National Development Planning, Head of National Development Planning Agency, Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, launched the Islamic Financial System Master Plan on the sidelines of the 12th World Islamic Economic Forum in Jakarta Tuesday. In his speech, Minister Bambang said that the master plan recommends the expansion of banks consisting of an action plan and intervention on the financial products.
It is time that the government of Indonesia, together with financial regulators, embark on expanding our Sharia financial system into a broader dimension, market, and playing field. Improvement and expansion of banking, capital market, non-bank financial services, and social funds. The master plan consists action plans and intervention to these services, covering important aspects such as capital adequacy, human resources, development, governance, consumer protection, socialization, and financial safety net.
Furthermore, Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that the Islamic Financial System Master Plan also recommends the establishment of the National Committee for Islamic Finance. According to him, the committee has a duty to ensure all stakeholders to implement the action program of the Master Plan effectively. The National Committee of Islamic Finance will be chaired by the Indonesian President and Vice President, and mostly consists of ministers of Working Cabinet, Commissioner of the Financial Services Authority, the Governor of Bank Indonesia, and the Indonesian Ulama Council. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Habibie Center and the Sasakawa Peace Foundation has organized expert meeting to promote regional cooperation to create peace, stability and prosperity in the Eastern Asia waters. The meeting was held in Jakarta on July 31st to August 2nd. The meeting was attended by academicians and senior politicians from the United States, Indonesia, Japan and China to discuss the latest development in East Asia waters, which include the Japan Sea, East China Sea and South China Sea. The discussion focused on the South China Sea conflict, included the reclamation of land, traditional fishing ground, and the result of South China Sea arbitration. Chairwoman of the Habibie Center, Dewi Fortuna Anwar, in a press conference on Tuesday said, the South China Sea issue is a challenging issue which requires a long process. The meeting emphasized the important role of ASEAN in resolving issues related to the South China Sea.
The meeting recognized the importance of ASEAN's centrality and unity as a collection of emerging powers in supporting regional activism and in shaping regional order. Regional powers, including China, have benefited from ASEAN unity rather than division. ASEAN member states, claimant and non-claimant, should actively participate in the efforts to manage existing disputes and to prevent future escalations of conflicts.
Dewi Fortuna Anwar further said that in the meeting also discussed the effort to reduce tensions in the region, to promote trust between countries and to establish mechanisms to prevent the conflicts. Present at this meeting, among others, former Japanese Deputy Minister of Defense, Mr. Masanori Nishi, Executive Director of China Center for Collaborative Studies of the South China Sea, Admiral Dennis C. Blair, Professor of the University of Tokyo, Akihiko Tanaka, and Executive Director of the ASEAN Study Center, University of Indonesia, Dr. Edi Prasetyono. The last item. The Indonesian police keep investigating the possibility of an intellectual actor being involved in a racial, religious, and ethnic-related riot in the North Sumatra town of Tanjung Balai on July 29th. The head of the General Information Section of the National Police, Senior Commissioner Martinus Tompul, said Tuesday that they are still investigating it by analyzing information. He added that the police have tried to combine various pieces of evidence, including provocation on the social media, as part of effort to find the main source of the riot. Martinus explained that the police have arrested a person suspected of being involved in sowing hate speech on the social media. However, the police did not detain him as he suffered a stroke. By Tuesday, the police have named 18 suspects in the riot. 10 of the suspects have allegedly been involved in vandalism, while the rest was arrested on charges of looting or stealing. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian government to examine economic policy package. Traditional business should be in line with technological development. The World Islamic Economic Forum proves women have important role in Islamic economy. That was the news.
Hello listener, welcome back to commentary for today entitling Governor of the First Woman in Tokyo. Japan is one of few countries in Asia that are still firmly holding the patriarchal tradition. Although in other countries there are women leaders, such as in India, Indonesia, Taiwan, Thailand, Bangladesh, Pakistan, South Korea, and the Philippines. In Indonesia, the position of president has been once occupied by a woman. Megawati Soekarnoputri became the fifth Indonesian president from 2001 until 2004. In Japan, it seems there is a tradition that the top positions are always occupied by men, especially the governor of Tokyo. The last governor of Tokyo, Yoichi Masuzoe, resigned last June after a full week rock by allegations of using political funds for personal benefit. Masuzoe resignation, giving way to the history of women leaders in Japan. Koike Yurike became the governor after winning the ballots in local election on Sunday in the city of more than 13 million inhabitants. Koike beat the 20 others who participated in the election of the governor of Tokyo. Although Yurike became the first female governor of Tokyo, she is not new to the government. Yurike Koike is a former minister of defense and the environment. She started her career in politics as members of the lower house of Japan, where only less than 10% of its members are women. Before going into politics, Yurike worked as an interpreter after graduating from Cairo University 40 years ago. Her ability to speak English and Arabic is enriched by the experience as a journalist. In her victory speech, Koike wants to provide policy benefits felt by all citizens of Tokyo, both men and women. However, heavy duty immediately is facing Yurike in leading Tokyo to host the Olympic Games 2020. The fund has swelled to nearly 2 trillion yen. That figure is 6 times larger than the initial planning. Yurike wants to evaluate the budget for it. Her two predecessors also had the same mission, namely the success of World Sports Event, but both stumbled on financial scandal. Governor Naoki Inose, who successfully made Tokyo win the bid to host the Olympics in 2020, resigned in late 2013 after reportedly receiving gratification from hospital managers. After that, Yoichi Masuzoe, a former health minister with the full support of the ruling party, became governor in 2014. Again, he had to resign due to a financial scandal. The first female governor in Tokyo is expected to act more cautiously than to her predecessor. So Tokyo can host the grand event in 2020 and show the Japanese face in the 21st century. The question is, can she pass all obstacles and be a good leader in Tokyo? Goike Yurike's success will make Japanese women move more easily in the domestic political scene. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back to Today in History. We start from August the 3rd, 1957. Tunku Abdul Rahman was selected as Malaysian leader. On August 3rd, 1957, Tunku Abdul Rahman was elected to lead Malaysia for 5 years. He was also known as the first head of state to bring Malaysia into an independent state. The appointment of Abdul Rahman by the election conducted throughout the sultans of the Malay Empire in Kuala Lumpur. He was prepared to represent Malaysia to accept the transfer of sovereignty from the British colonial government on August 31, 1957. The same day was set as the day of independence of Malaysia. Rahman was brother of the Sultan of Kedah. He graduated from Cambridge University in 1925 and returned to England to pursue law studies after World War II. After carrying Malaysia's independence, Tunku Abdul Rahman made a number of reforms that divided the power of the sultans who had ruled in their respective territories by generation to generation for hundreds of years. In 1970, Rahman decided to retire from the stage of power 1 year after imposing a state of emergency following unrest in Malaysia's largest ethnic group, which killed about 2,000 people. On August 3, 1958, Nautilus, the first U.S. Navy nuclear submarine passing the North Pole. USS Nautilus was the world's first operational nuclear-powered submarine. The vessel was the first submarine to complete a submerged transit of the North Pole on August 3, 1958, sharing names with Captain Nemo's fictional submarine in Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and named after another USS Nautilus that served with distinction in World War II. Nautilus was authorized in 1951 and launched in 1954. Because her nuclear propulsion allowed her to remain submerged far longer than diesel-electric submarines, she broke many records in her first year of operation and traveled to locations previously beyond the limits of submarines. In operation, she revealed a number of limitations in her design and construction. This information was used to improve subsequent submarines. Nautilus was decommissioned in 1980 and designed a National Historic Landmark in 1982. The submarine has been preserved as a submarine museum in Groton, Connecticut,
where the vessel receives some 250,000 visitors a year. We conclude the segment with the last event happened on August 3, 2005. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was re-elected as the Iranian president. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was the sixth Iranian president and he got 61.91% votes on the Iranian presidential election on June 24, 2005. His presidency began on August 3, 2005. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad had served as Tehran mayor on May 3, 2003 until June 28, 2005. He also known widely as a conservative figure who is loyal toward the Islamic Revolution values of Iran. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Void Green. Today, we'll take you to talk about the rampant of using fish bombs in Indonesia. The Indonesian government plans to hand over ships in the pockets of fishermen area, which are prone to the use of fish bombs. This was stated by Minister of Marine and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti, in a press conference in Jakarta Monday. Minister Susi said, "The use of fish bombs to catch fish in Indonesia is still rampant, especially in eastern Indonesia. The case of fish bombs began to reveal from catching of vessel carrying 57 tons of fish bombs by officers of customs and excise. There was also arrest of ships carrying 2 tons of fish and 1 ton fish bomb material in Pangkajene and Pangkep Islands by water police. The fish bombs was mostly smuggled from Malaysia." Minister Susi Pujastuti also revealed the findings of other fish bombs cases in the waters of South Solor, East Flores, East Nusa Tenggara Province, Galasa Island Central Bangka, Bangka Belitung Province, and southern waters of Kodingaring in South Sulawesi Province. Widespread of the use of fish bombs cannot be separated from the lack of supervision of the Marine and Fishery Ministry patrol. In addition, the fishermen are mostly accustomed to use fish bombs because of being pressured by the presence of big trawlers which operates in the fishermen catching area. The assistance of vessel and catching tools from the government intended to encourage fishermen to replace their fishing gear as well as to safeguard the environment. Meanwhile, Ministry of Marine and Fishery will arrange fish catching zone. A big ring trawler is not allowed to catch in the water region of less than 12 miles as the fishermen catching area. Besides the using of fish bomb, the illegal fish catch remain going on continuously. During July 2016, Indonesian government has arrested 29 fish catch boats from foreign countries. Indonesian government planned to sink 71 illegal fish boats at the 71st anniversary of Indonesian Independence Day on August 17, 2016. 71 boats are illegal boats which have been catched from the operation results. The sinking of the boats is scheduled to be held at 8 locations, namely Tarakan, Tarempa, Ranai, Batam, and Morotai. That was the Void Green for today. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The Chief of Presidential Staff, Teten Mas Duki, said the government will soon examine the implementation of the Economic Policy Package 1 to 12. According to him, the government will be examining the regulation whether they are convenient to the business sectors, including the micro, small, and medium enterprises or not. The examination aims to understand the impacts derived from the economic policies to the people. The development of technology that allows people to do business, not disrupt business traditionally, that has been run ahead. This was conveyed by Indonesian businessman Ilham Akbar Habibi in a panel discussion on the sidelines of a meeting of the 12th World Islamic Economic Forum in Jakarta Wednesday. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said that women have an important role in Indonesia in industry and economy. It was showed through the implementation of 12th World Islamic Economic Forum. In a press conference, which was held at the Jakarta Convention Center, Jakarta on Tuesday, August 2, 2016, the minister said that, so far, there is a stigma that Islam does not give space and opportunity for women. Minister for National Development Planning, Head of National Development Planning Agency Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, launched the Islamic Financial System Master Plan on the sidelines of the 12th World Islamic Economic Forum in Jakarta Tuesday. The Habibi Center and the Sasakawa Peace Foundation has organized expert meeting to promote regional cooperation to create peace, stability, and prosperity in the Eastern Asia waters. The meeting was held in Jakarta on July 31st to August 2nd. The meeting was attended by academicians and senior politicians from the United States, Indonesia, Japan, and China to discuss the latest development in East Asia waters, which include the Japan Sea, East China Sea, and the South China Sea. The Indonesian police keep investigating the possibility of an intellectual actor being involved in a racial, religious, and ethnic related riot in the North Sumatra town of Tanjung Balai on July 29th. That was the news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit East Java to enjoy sensation of Bosamba rafting. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you are really tired, it's time for you to take holiday. You can visit Indonesia where you find interesting tourism destinations. There is tourism destination whose pleasure is excellent and it touches your adrenaline up. So, if you love tourism destination which touches your adrenaline up, Bosamba rafting is worth being tried. This tourism object has existed since 2008. Natural tourism objects in Bondowoso, East Java offers rafting which will make your heart beat when passing heavy streaming of Sampean Baru River. The river water is sourced from 6 tributaries. Thank you. If you never try rafting, you do not have to worry because you will be guided by instructor as well as SAR team who are ready to help you in every stage. So it will make you safe and comfortable. Along the river, there are three source points of waterfall which offer exotic natural scenery and also Kekelawar Cave which has its own attraction and nuance for rafting lovers. And you do not have to worry to lose beautiful moments during rafting because there is a photographer to take your picture. Listeners, word of Bosamba is abbreviation of Bondowoso Sampeyan Baru. Bosamba rafting is located at Taman Krocok Village, Wonosari Sub-District, Bondowoso Regency, East Java Province. Access to go there is very easy because you can use public transportation. It only covers around 2 kilometers from province road of Wonosari Sub-District. Besides rafting, Bosamba rafting also offers other attractions such as flying fox, point ball and camping ground which become alternative to spend your holiday in Bondowoso Regency, East Java. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Membeli Perlengkapan Olahraga, which in English means buying sport equipments. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Membeli. Membeli, which means to buy. Perlengkapan. Perlengkapan, which means equipment. Olahraga. Olahraga, which means sport. Sepatu dan baju olahraga. Sepatu dan baju olahraga, which means sport shoes and suits. Lantai dua. Lantai dua, which means second floor. Berbagai. Berbagai, which means various or variety. Melihat-lihat. Melihat-lihat, which means to look around. Nomor 40. Nomor 40, which means number 40. Warna hitam. Warna hitam, which means black. Ukuran large. Ukuran large, which means large size. Warna merah. Warna merah, which means red. Tunggu sebentar. Tunggu sebentar, which means to wait a moment. Coba terlebih dahulu. Coba terlebih dahulu, which means to try first. Tidak perlu. Tidak perlu, which means no need. Berapa harga? Berapa harga, which means how much. 500 ribu. 500.000, which means 500,000. Membayar. Membayar, which means to pay. Kasir. Kasir, which means cashier. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Membeli Perlengkapan Olahraga, or in English means buying sport equipments. The conversation is between A. Shopkeeper and B. Buyer. A. Shopkeeper. Selamat siang, apa yang sedang Anda cari? Selamat siang, apa yang sedang Anda cari? Which means, good afternoon, what are you looking for? B. Buyer. Saya mencari sepatu dan baju olahraga. Saya mencari sepatu dan baju olahraga. Which means, I'm looking for shoes and sport suits. A. Shopkeeper. Sepatu dan baju olahraga ada di lantai 2, Bu. Sepatu dan baju olahraga ada di lantai 2, Bu. Which means, the shoes and sport suits are at the second floor, ma'am. Kami mempunyai berbagai perlengkapan olahraga. Kami mempunyai berbagai perlengkapan olahraga, which means we have various sport equipments. B. Buyer. Saya mau melihat-lihat sebentar, bisa? Saya mau melihat-lihat sebentar, bisa? Which means, can I look first? A. Shopkeeper. Silakan memilih apa yang ibu butuhkan. Silakan memilih apa yang ibu butuhkan, which means, yes please, you can take which one you like. B. Buyer. Saya mau membeli sepatu olahraga nomor 40 warna hitam dan baju olahraga ukuran L warna merah. Saya mau membeli sepatu olahraga nomor 40 warna hitam dan baju olahraga ukuran L warna merah. I want to buy black sport shoes with the size of 40 and a red suit size large. A. Shopkeeper. Tunggu sebentar, saya ambilkan. Tunggu sebentar, saya ambilkan. Which means, wait a moment, I'll take it. B. Buyer. Baiklah. Baiklah, which means all right. A. Shopkeeper. Ini baju dan sepatu olahraga yang ibu butuhkan. Ini baju dan sepatu olahraga yang ibu butuhkan. Which means, here are the sport suit and shoes that you need. Apa mau dicoba terlebih dahulu? Apa mau dicoba terlebih dahulu? Which means, do you want to fit it? B. Buyer. Tidak perlu. Berapa harga semuanya? Tidak perlu. Berapa harga semuanya? No, thank you. How much are they? A. Shopkeeper. Total semuanya Rp500.000. Total semuanya Rp500.000. Which means, the total are 500,000 rupiah. Silakan ibu membayar di kasir. Silakan ibu membayar di kasir. Which means, you could pay at the cashier. B. Buyer. Baiklah, terima kasih. Baiklah, terima kasih. Which means, all right, thank you. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week. And sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition will present you to an Indonesian pop singer and composer, Rinto Harahap. He came from Medan, North Sumatra. The coming song, which will be presented to you entitled Ayah, O Father, sung and composed by Rinto Harahap. Rinto wrote that, "How deep and complete love and responsibility to the father gives to his children and family. So, sense of deepest sadness when the father go away." Well, listener, coming up next, a song entitled Ayah by Rinto Harahap.
Aku
Listener, the song Ayah that you've just listened by Rinto Harahap tells about the love and tribute to the existence of father. Talking about Rinto Harahap, he was a song composer and singer. His career was started when he joined in a group band, The Mercies. The band was very popular with their songs around 70s to 80s era. Most of songs that made The Mercies band popular in the country were the songs of Rinto. He also dedicated the songs by himself along with the group in the recording album. The Mercies' popularity then getting more increase when the selling of albums produced by The Mercies exploded on the market and became the hits of charts throughout Indonesia. Most of the songs of the group tells about the social life of people. That's why the songs were received by the public well. Now I'll take you to listen the next song entitled Kisah Seorang Pramuria by The Mercies. Listener, the lyrics written by Rinto not only in Indonesian but also written in English because the popularity of the Mercies band was not only in Indonesia but also in neighboring Asian countries. Well, now we conclude today's segment of Music Corner with an English lyric song entitled Love by Rinto Harahap. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Aku melangkah dalam menggapai impianku. Ketika kau tak ramah di saat rindu mencekam. Haruskah diri luput dari mimpi, sedangkan dirimu masih tetap sendiri. Entah apa kau cari. Izinkan kehadiranku dalam kesunyian dirimu. Janganlah kau sangsikan betapa tulus cinta kasihku untukmu. Tiada harapan yang kau damba di sana. Impianmu yang hilang. Dalam kesunyian dirimu, janganlah kau sangsikan betapa tulus cinta kasihku untukmu. Tiada harapan yang kau damba di sana. Impianmu yang hilang.
Tiada lagi harapan yang kudambakan. Kini cintamu ada di sini.
Terimalah aku pengganti impianmu yang hilang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.